welcome to another Comics Burst from the Full Force podcast, sponsored by Distant Planet Comics and Collectibles, where we take an in-depth look at the newest G.I. Joe comics and related titles of the week, with me as your host, Chris, the real English hero, McLeod, aka Diagnostic 80. Joining me on this episode is Brian, a real Irish hero hickey. On this installment of your absolutely favourite kind of burst, we check out issue 260 of G.I. Joe, A Real American Hero. So without further ado, let's get stuck into this comics burst. The Cobra's Venom, Part 5. Mad scientists, even madder robots, and a small desperate team of Joes left alone to defeat them at any cost. The final chapter in the latest bombastic arc of living legend Larry Hama's magnificent G.I. Joe, A Real American Hero run. Take us through it, Brian. What did you think?
Oh, I mean, look, this is Larry is kicking ass and taking names as he does every month. I mean, look, this is a guy who's come up through the ranks in an industry where, you know, he was working with greats in the comic scene. He says himself many times he didn't get lots of praise when he was starting out. He got lots of abuse. He got told he was crap, and it made him dig deep and work hard. And here he is, what, 40 years later? I don't know, still kind of rocking it out here. He's doing some amazing stuff. Yes. And where we left off, 260, we're straight in. We're in the war-torn country of, is it Shadazar?
Yeah.
That sounds like an 80s rock band.
It's not Shalimar. It's not Shalimar, I can tell you that much.
No, it's Shadazar.
Shadazar, yeah.
And we've got Cover Girl and her crew. We left them last issue, walking right into an ambush. Here we go. First panel. I don't like it. It's too quiet. Hang on a sec. There's a guy with an RPG up on the roof. And all that amazing training and experience that makes these guys such a kick-ass military unit kicks in. And they unleash hell. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, they split up. They go round the little village instead of through it. That throws the ambush off completely. And they all have to try and kind of reposition themselves, and while they're doing that, we have, I want to say,
Leatherneck is on the gun, and I think it's Repeater on the other gun.
Basically, they've got gun coverage, and they just basically take everyone out on the roof from a distance and get straight through. They're chased by some, obviously there's some left, some insurgents are left. They basically pull out all their hardware, which is kind of armored vehicles and, you know, guns attached to them.
Yeah, these kind of kit-bashed armored vehicles.
It's Mad Max.
It's Mad Max. We've got a Mad Max style pursuit across the desert before it cuts away to Airborne and his crew, and they're in Shara City at the orphanage where the UN people are. Well, they've hooked up with Airborne's team, but their drone, Airborne noticed their drone getting kind of pulled out of airspace, obviously to go and give, you know, back up to Cover Girl and the guys. And it cuts back to our kind of hot pursuit across the desert.
I love how Muskrat is just like firing that huge machine gun one-handed out the window.
Yeah.
Mental. And again, like, yeah, it's not until the drone turns up and starts firing, like, you know, the fire and forget rockets and taking them out. And then that's that threat neutralized. But then there's the issue, I suppose, as we go on. And this is where Larry's done this a lot in his writing, where there'll be a moral issue for the team to work out. Do they do what the law abides, you know, the law says they should do, or do they do what they think is morally right? And there's always this kind of thing for the G.I. Joe team. It happens in most of the original Marvel run as well, where they're kind of put up against these situations where it's, do we save all these innocent people, or do we do what the mission was supposed to be in the first place, execute that mission and get the hell out of here and probably, you know, survive doing it. So they always have this issue to deal with. In this particular one, the women from the UN that they're trying to rescue won't leave without all of the orphans back at this orphanage, because they're going to be wiped out based on this genocide between these two rival factions. And because of that, you know, basically Heavy Duty snapped at, and then he kind of goes, well, yeah, I see what you're saying. And then that basically changes Airborne's mind, who's, you know, he's in the lead with this particular group at the moment. So he makes the executive decision, doesn't he?
Well, actually, I love how they're maybe Airborne and Heavy Duty are a little bit, you know, hang on a sec. It's legal to extract UN workers. It's illegal to, extract miners who are indigenous. And he's very swiftly taken down off his kind of legal high horse. Yeah. And you see the entire Joe team completely cowed by this amazing woman.
Good point. Yeah.
So you have Leatherneck, like, and then Airborne, okay.
Yeah, it's very much like, okay, yeah, that's a good idea. We'll do it your way. And then he basically says, right, well, Ripcord, you stay behind and look after the orphans. We're going to go and get us a vehicle. And he's like, well, there aren't any. They're all commandeered by whatever faction's running it outside. And he's like, we'll find a way. So then we actually get a couple of things. One, we can talk about the return of Raymond, who I, for some reason, thought didn't exist in life. And your favourite returns in this one, Brian, as well. You're the little lad.
Milo is back, and he's lost for 10 years off him.
He went from like 8 to 18 and then back down to 8 again, didn't he?
He's a lot smaller looking now than the last time we saw him. This is actually a nice little touch. So he flashes back to kind of, where the story transports us to San Francisco. It's clearly post the extraction of the Joe team from Cobra headquarters, Springfield. And Milo is now, being an orphan, is kind of taken under the wing of Budo in his dojo. And he's been introduced to various members of the team. So we've got Alpine, we've got Long Range, and he's getting kind of the tour of the dojo and, you know, this is how we stack our katanas when we're, you know, not ready for action.
That's an interesting thing, actually, because Larry did post something the other day on Facebook about display, or how like the kind of, it's like the cultural appropriation thing where it's like they display the katanas wrong most of the time, because it's like, unless, you know, there's different ways to display swords effectively traditionally. And he pointed that out on Facebook, and I was kind of like, that's interesting. And then lo and behold, I'm reading this. I'm like, oh, that's why he pointed it out, because he put it in there himself as well. So I thought that was a nice touch from him. And these little personal touches from Larry, you definitely feel, don't you, when he puts them in there. You're like, yeah, I can see what he's doing there. Like the whole thing with, I suppose, the Zen kind of mindset that they were in the when they were kind of meditating in that yearbook, I was kind of thinking, yeah, he's really putting in some kind of knowledge in that particular story based around, you know, his own experiences and his own knowledge and all that kind of stuff. And you can definitely feel those little touches from him.
What I love in this as well is that when Raymond shows up, he's introduced to Milo as, so he's going to be your new older brother in the dojo.
Yeah.
And Raymond just hands him kind of the bucket and the scrubbing brush and goes, yep, you can start by scrubbing the floor. And in a way, there's kind of an analogy in here too. So again, if you imagine when Larry Hama was starting out in the comics industry, and we spoke about this previously, that he started out on the bottom and he had to work his way up, and he had a lot of hard knocks on his journey to the top.
Yeah.
This is what Milo is being set up for. He's coming in at the very bottom. He's going to be doing the dirtiest, most menial tasks, and he's going to learn his trade from starting right down there, scrubbing the floor, and eventually, in time, he's going to work his way up through the ranks and is presumably into being a skilled member of the Joe team.
We then kind of switched back to Shara City, and something that I find quite, not overtly violent, but certainly something that has started to creep into the Aurelian American Hero series recently, but that kind of more kind of in-your-face kind of brutality that they've started kind of including. And it's been an effective means of getting your point across. And in this particular scene, it's an execution of a woman from the same ethnic group that this particular group are against and are basically trying to wipe out. And, you know, she just gets executed in front of Heavy Duty and Airborne. And that obviously then makes them kind of really angry to then go, right, well, let's get this vehicle, but then at the same time, let's wipe out this entire faction, this entire group of holes, basically.
This is some pretty intense writing across these three pages. that execution is, that's tough to look at.
It really is, yeah.
He doesn't really hold back here. I mean, Larry is, maybe it's say over the last few months, as we've kind of gone through things like Silent Option and some of the other real American hero comics, there's the stuff, Larry's covering themes that are pretty grim, and this kind of ethnic cleansing is a real issue. Larry's taken it, you know, face on, and you see it laid out in these panels. He's not pulling any punches here.
Yeah.
And of course, how he feels about this also comes out in the way that the two members of the Joe team essentially execute the bad guys. You know, it's not a straight up fight. They just go out and they gun these guys down, like in Retribution almost. A little bit out of character for a Joe team. But I think pretty visceral stuff on behalf of Larry, for sure.
Well, I kind of think it is and it isn't, because the Joe team have, you know, been having, they've had to do that for donkey's years in the Marvel run. But what I would say, like, I just, for one thing, let's I want to focus on a positive, and that's seeing Heavy Duty with his actual original weapon, like his big kind of like hulking box thing with the missiles and the machine guns all over it. It's so overkill and mental and ridiculous, but it's so much fun to see in the comic. And the G.I. Joe Bird guys on their last episode I listened to yesterday were talking about awkward weapons, and this one popped up and they were discussing this and even mentioned that it popped up in this issue as well. So shout out to the Joe Bird guys, doing amazing work, by the way, guys. Like, I'm loving the episodes at the moment, especially the Blazing Sand YouTube videos and all that stuff. It's just amazing. So big shout out to you guys for that. And again, yeah, we see Airborne, like, you know, just literally just shooting the guy in the head and going, "I'm your karma, come home to roost." So see you yes. later. They do the bad thing. They blow everything up and kill everyone. And then what happens? And then we switch back to a different scene, which is almost like, I completely forgot this was happening, but it is happening. And that's that Destro and the Baroness and the Iron Grenadiers are trying to wipe out all of the revanche facilities.
And very deftly kicking ass. They're just sweeping through these facilities. You see the two helicopters coming down. I think it's like a cornfield or something.
Yeah, that's a Mamba as well in the top. And I think that's the Cobra transport copter, which they've been using for Destro and the Baroness like for quite a few issues now.
You've got this kind of badass panel then of, obviously, you know, Destro, the Baroness, and two Iron Grenadiers are flanked by Iron Grenadiers. They kind of just march and, you know, down the corridor in this secret base. They just unleash hell as they blast away through. One of the Iron Grenadiers kind of comes up to Destro and lets them know that they've kind of unearthed some sort of major control center. And this brings us back into what we would have seen of the revanche kind of HQ in the previous, I think it was 259, and they discover the Alpha 001 Prime.
He's back again. He was in the yearbook as well, wasn't he?
I can't remember. I just can't get all the names right for these guys.
We're going to need like a visual checklist of all of the revanche characters, aren't we? But he kind of catches everyone in his tentacles, his robotic tentacles. So Destro, the Baroness, and the Iron Grenadiers are kind of screwed now. They're in a situation where it'll be interesting to see how they actually get out of that, you know, what Destro has planned. I've got a feeling that Destro might have a trick up his sleeve. Like, I feel like he knew what he was getting into here before getting into it. That's what I think is going to happen in the next one.
Get a nice little tease at the end of this comic for the cover for next month, and it's obviously Baroness and Destro in the clutches of Alpha 001 Prime, and with Neto Diaz back in action. So looking forward to that.
There is one more thing in the comic, guys. Yes. Brian, there's one more panel left at the orphanage before we get into that, and that is the fact that they get the vehicle, they throw all the orphans in it, and they roll out. But I love the fact they've got Heavy Duty and Ripcord on the top covering the 6 and the 12 o'clock, like back and front are covered. And then I love it's the fact that he says should be smooth sailing from here on as they drive away, which you know is not going to be the case at all. But again, you know.
Oh, it's a nice little close out there. And I love that it's a VW camper van as well. That's great.
I know, it's good touch. Good touch.
They don't look very secure up there in the roof, though. That is not the place you want to be when you're kind of going through a war zone.
You're talking about a team of Joes who have operated vehicles with no canopies. in the past. But the Fang helicopter for the Cobra faction is just the... I mean, that is just a death trap. Don't stand up in that thing while it's going. But, you know, but you're right. That's an exposed position, definitely.
Well, I'm just thinking, you know, you have to take a sharp left. Those lads are going flying off that roof.
They're going to have to strap in tight, aren't they? You'd think they'd have, like, they'd have some sort of, like, coverage built up around them, just bags or something around them just to, you know, make that a bit more, I don't know, safe. But, yeah, I suppose they're not really safe. They're in Shazadar. They're not safe. Well, what would you what would you give this in terms of a rating?
I mean, this is great stuff. I mean, I'm really, really liking what I'm seeing from Larry. You get that nice mix of kind of action, kind of the pace slows down a little bit, but then you have some pretty, you know, visceral action kicking back in, and that nice little kind of, you know, send off as the guys are heading off in their camper van, and yeah, you know, this is just the beginning of troubles for these guys. So I'm going in, 5 potatoes. Well done, Larry. Another cracker of an episode. Get 260. You won't regret it.
I'm going to throw in this is hard because I love this comic. I've been really enjoying it. It's one of the ones I look forward to the most every 7 months that it comes out. but I don't know. I want to just say, yeah, give it 5 and just be a Brian. But I have to be a Paddy. And I'm going to give it, oh God, no, I'll give it 5. It gets 5. I loved it. It's great. And just, I'm really enjoying it. That's all I can say. I just enjoy this comic at the moment, and I want it to keep going. I want Larry to keep bringing in characters and doing different missions in different parts of the globe. That's what makes this comic for me. Like I have always wanted to do that whole special missions thing. I've wanted it to be the kind of one shot kind of missions that, you know, we get lots of different kind of team members being used. And at the moment, quite honestly, that is what's happening in A Real American Hero. So I'm more than content with how things are going. And I hope it continues. And I hope we get loads more out of it. And I hope we get loads of side issues popping up, just as we have been doing. It's just, yeah, it's a real tour de force at the moment. And I'm really
that's
happy.
Yes. Tour de force. That's exactly what it is.
Tour de full force.
Tour the full force. Honourable mention to John Wall. I got the variant cover B, and we've got Helix on the front cover. Nothing to do with the story that's actually, you know, contained within the comic, but a superb piece of artwork from John Wall. Beautiful, beautiful stuff.
And that cover, that main cover with the, you know, cover girl repeater, in the
Chinooth. No, we've got the Chinooth, and we've got the repeater, and I are going right in the Chinooth.
Okay.
But it looks pretty cool.
Yeah, and so that is an absolute beauty. And it's, again, such a great cover. Anyway, yeah, Brian, thanks for jumping on. Appreciate it.
I loved it. Loved it.
That's it for this installment of the Full Force Comics Burst. Thank you to my awesome co-host, Brian Hickey. See you next time, and as always, Full Force. Make sure you get involved with the discussion by liking, sharing and commenting on these videos, and as always you can keep up with the show after listening by following on Twitter @TheFullForce, liking the Facebook page facebook.com/TheFullForce, and if you would like to contact the show you can message us on either of those platforms with feedback or questions. We have also started a Patreon page, so if you want to see your name up in lights on these videos or enjoy exclusive bonus content, then check out patreon.com/TheFullForcePodcast or click the link on any of the posts this podcast appears in. Full Force. And a big shout out to our sponsors, Distant Planet Comics and Collectibles, located at 601 Business Loop 70 West Suite 263, located in the Parkade Center, Columbia, Missouri. You can visit their website at distantplanetcomics.com and on Facebook at facebook.com/distantplanetcomics.